and welcome to Saturate with your host, gospel singer, and Bible teacher, Chris Norman. Saturate is a program where we study to show ourselves approved, not ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. So grab your Bible and study along with us as we dig deeper in order to expose a lot of erroneous preconceived ideas about God's word. As we prepare to study, let's pray. Father, thank you for making your word available to us, and thanks for the Holy Spirit's anointing to discern what we read today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, here's your host, Chris Norman.
Hey friends, good to have you on the program today. It's called Saturate, and that's exactly what we want to do. We just want to get saturated with God's word. You know, that's what we do this on a daily basis. I asked God, I said, why daily, you know? He said, because the manna that I gave to the children of Israel in the wilderness didn't last but just one day. And I'll tell you something else I learned about that manna too. If you didn't go get it early, it'd evaporate about lunchtime. So we want to get in God's word early. I know this program may be coming on late. It might be coming on. I don't know what time it's coming on. But folks, make it a habit to get up first thing in your day and seek God's face every day, because it's not something that you can gather up and keep for about a week. It just don't work that way. Let me do my little commercial, and we're going to get into this. Get your Bible before this comes on. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, and we'll pick up right there, right after this.
SaturateNow.com. If you'll go to that website, you can get information about Crossroads Gospel Singers, where we're going to be. You can even book our group if you'd like. You can also get radio content for this Saturate program. You can even download music as well. The site is under construction, so keep coming back to see what changes have been made. If you desire to make a tax-deductible donation to the ministry, SaturateNow.com is the place to go. Thanks for your generous support of the ministry. God bless you.
Yes, sir, SaturateNow.com. We've actually been getting some pretty good response. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, so that through death he, talking about Jesus, might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery. The King James says bondage all their lives. Father, just open this to us today. I usually don't pray, but I got a real sense that we need to get your Holy Spirit to really help us focus today. It's something that might go against the grain of some, but Lord, I know the same Holy Ghost that's in me is in people listening, and if it's not, then today is their day, and I believe they'll hear your call and give their heart to you and make that change today in Jesus' name. Amen. Look, what is the greatest of all fears? Well, it's the fear of death. And even believers struggle and suffer from the fear of death. And this is what this says right here, that through his death, talking about Jesus Christ, he destroyed the one who has the power of death, and that was the devil, in order to free those who, through fear of death, were subject to bondage. All kinds of bondages, all kinds of fears stem from the fear of death. We're going to talk about why you have the fear of death, but think about the fear of death for a minute. Fear of death causes a lot of people to fear lots of other things. That's the bondages it's talking about, a lot of different kinds of bondages. Like some people have a fear of flying. My mother, I have a pilot's license and I don't fly anymore. I haven't got my medical upgraded, but I remember when I used to fly, you always hear people say, oh Lord, I'd rather get killed in a car wreck than fly an airplane. Well, good Lord, don't say that. But my mother, she didn't really particularly want to be flying either, you know, because obviously when your plane runs out of gas or you have engine trouble, you can't just pull off the side of the road and park. You know, you got to do something. But I talked to her one time and I said, now, Mama, do you really believe that God's through with you and your mission on earth? Do you think he's done with you? Of course not. I said, well, then you ought to know that he's going to put angels on those wings to hold us up while we're flying. I told her that. And one time she took a commercial flight somewhere and this lady was real nervous. She said, I remember what you told me. She said, I told that lady, don't worry about it. I'm on here. God's got a plan for me. It ain't going down. We're going to make it. Folks have a fear because they're afraid to die. They have fear of getting sick. I know good Christian people that, man, the first symptom, man, that first thing they're going to do is hit it down to the hospital or emergency room or a doctor's office. If the doctor's office ain't open, they go into the emergency room, sit there 6 hours and wait because they're afraid. They're scared that if they get sick, they might die. The bondage of the fear of death, it will take you to many different bondages. Let's talk about the fear of death. Why would a child of God be afraid to die? Now, if you haven't given your heart to the Lord, then you don't have the hope that we have. But my goodness, the Bible says we have hope. That we're like Paul. Paul said to live is God and to die is gain. What do you mean to die is gain? Sound like you're making plans to go. No, I'm not making a plan to depart prematurely. But if tonight should be the night, I'm ready to go. I'm not in any fear at all of facing it because I know it's not death as a lot of people think it is. It's just a graduation. It's a translation from here to there, my friend. And I believe God's got a plan and he's got ministry for me to continue. But if not, it's going to be all right. And I'm not worried about dying. Listen here, the fear of death is only present in someone when you don't believe you got it right with the Lord. Because if you really believe down deep in your heart that everything was settled between you and God, you wouldn't have that fear of death. You would know, just like I know, and I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on Jesus, that it's settled. It's already settled. Here's the thing. Now, we talked about this in previous broadcasts. It depends on what you believe. It's important what you believe. Right believing always leads to right living. Now, in the old covenant, it was right doing. It was right performance. You had to perform to be able to live right. But the new covenant is not that way. See, the old covenant was all about you shall not, you shall, you do this, you don't do that. It's up to you. But the new covenant is God saying, I'm going to be their God. They're going to be my people. See, you notice the order? It didn't say, oh, they'll be my people and then I'll be their God. He said, no, I'll be their God and they will be my people. Nobody will have to teach them about me because I'll be inside of them. See, it's a difference. It's a different today. And you know what our part is in this, in the new covenant? You're kind of hard-pressed to find what your responsibility is in the new covenant. Because so many people have been trained on that old covenant that they have to do all these things. What do I have to do now in the new covenant? It's simple. John 3:16 tells you, you got to believe. You believe on the one that God sent his only son to die for your sins, and you will have everlasting life. Now, see, do you believe that? You got to ask yourself the question, do I believe that? Because if you truly believe that, then you'd be at peace about life and the hereafter that a lot of folks refer to as death. But see, there's different varying degrees of that belief, too. You see, a lot of people believe, oh, yeah, I believe when I gave my heart to the Lord, he forgave all my past sins. Well, what about your future sins? You see, a lot of people think that once they get saved by faith, now they got to keep their salvation by doing stuff and working. Well, no, you couldn't work to get saved, and you can't work to stay saved. The same Savior that went to the cross over 2,000 years ago died for all your sins. And at the time he died on the cross, every single one of your sins was in the future, every one of them. And he died for all of your sins and all of the sins of humanity from the time he died until the day he's going to put his foot back on this earth. They're all futuristic sins when he died. All of your sins have been forgiven. But do you believe that? See, a lot of people don't believe that. We know it in our head. I think a lot of people know it, but they just don't really, really believe it. Because if they really did believe it, if they believed it was all right between them and God, and God's not mad at them, and it's not wishy-washy with God. He's not up today and down tomorrow. He's not on your side today and you're going to have to do something else, you know, tomorrow. God said, I love you unconditionally. Well, do you believe that? You either do or you don't. And if he unconditionally loved me enough that Jesus Christ died for all my sins once, it says once, he doesn't have to do this again. He died once for all the sins of the whole wide world. I tell you, this will blow a religious party all to pieces. The truth is, folks, and yes, sin is bad, and no, God doesn't like sin at all. But sin is not the problem. Sin has been taken care of. Jesus Christ died for all of it. The problem is what men believe about it. Because depending on what you believe makes the difference as to what you're going to choose to do. If you don't believe that God has forgiven all your sins, then you're going to live with a conscience of sin from now on, and you're going to be in and out, wishy-washy, thinking that your name's been written in the book. Up, it got blotted out. Up, he wrote it back. You know, some people think the book of life's got a whole bunch of eraser marks in it. No, my friend. Your name's in the book of life. It's in there. Jesus said, I haven't lost a one. In fact, he even tells us that your name will not be blotted out of the book. I'll be like J. Vernon McGee on this one. He said, well, you know, friends, you can believe what you want, but if you want to be right. A lot of people just got this idea that it's just too good to be true, but it's not. It's the one thing in this universe that is really, really good, and it is really, really true. Jesus died for your sins, all of them, and when you accepted him as your Savior, you became quite right. Do you know the Holy Ghost lives in you? Do you know how clean you have to be for the Holy Spirit to live in you? You know, I say, yeah, but I know me. Well, you live in a flesh body, and when I say flesh, I'm not talking about skin. The flesh is the part that still wants to sin. But let's look at what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. You remember this one? He said, for the good that I want, I do not, but practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Now, how could he say that? Well, here's the thing, folks. You're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. This is another lesson for another time, but I want you to know you are not that body. You are a spirit, and God lives in your spirit, and it's quite right now. Your body, your flesh, wants to continue to sin. But we have the power through the grace of God to go and sin no more. I'm going to leave you with this song. If you know you're the one that Jesus is tugging on right now, I want you to do me a big favor. I want you to listen to this song, and then I want you to pray and ask him to come into your heart. Listen, we love you, and we'll see you here again tomorrow. Y'all have a great one now. Bye-bye.
Before I go, I'd like to thank you all for treating me so kind. You're my friends, my sisters, and my brothers. And if you take the time to join with me in a very special prayer for all our friends and our family and any others, you see, tomorrow it will be the same as it was yesterday, unless they leave with someone special in a very special way. So the greatest gift I feel I can give from me to you is to tell you that I love you and to introduce to you the greatest friend I ever knew. His name is Jesus. Yeah, he's the greatest friend I've ever known in my life. And if you're sad and feeling blue, I'd like to introduce to you the greatest friend I ever knew. If you're sad and feeling blue, I'd like to introduce to you. If you're at the end of your rope and you don't know what to do, and you're sad and feeling blue, I'd like to introduce to you the greatest friend I ever